praise the Lord, everybody. Can someone give God a shout of praise in here? Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. We serve a great and mighty God. Hallelujah. He is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. On this Pentecost Sunday, give God some honor today. He is so worthy. Give God the glory. I know that's right. Not man, but they said arise and give God glory. Yes. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. He is a great and mighty God. Can I get just a little bit more volume on the mic? Thank you. Hallelujah. It's such a pleasure to be here today. I first want to give honor to the Spirit of the Lord in this place today. I honor that angel of this house, Pastor Dale Earl Armstrong. Give a hand for good leadership. Amen. Thank God for the Women's Committee, the Hospitality Committee. I thank you so much for making me feel at home. Amen. Thank you for the official board of this church. And thank you for all of you that came out. I know when they say to rise, it's something to arise early in the morning, huh? That's all right, though. But God has a word for the house today. God has a word. I thank God for the choir. Awesome. Just awesome. Thank God. And I give honor to my pastor, Bishop Jerome S. Wilcox. Amen. Last but not least, to my husband, Elder Eric Richard Williams, and his absence. And we're going to go directly to the Word of God. You come and hear a word. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And if it's the custom of your house to stand for the reading of the Word, I ask that you stand. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to begin at the 11th verse. Then we're going to jump to 17, and then we're going to finish out from 32 to 37. I thank God for family, friends that have come out to support. I appreciate you coming out in the morning. It does my heart good to see familiar faces. When you have it, say, I have it. 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now. And jumping down to verse 32 to 37. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Ending scripture. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me. Someone said, he will. He will. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Just for a few moments, I'd like to speak from the title. This is all going to tie in to your women's season. Amen. Talking about arising and being prayerful and courageous and victorious.
All right.
But I like to come from a title, Facing Your Goliaths Head On.
Yeah.
Facing Your Goliaths Head On. You'll find me in verse 11. It says here, when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Already I have a problem with this text, with this verse, because Saul was the leader of the military, of the army. And it concerns me that you have a job to do. But it said here that Saul and all of Israel, all the military men, when they heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. How many of you know that God has assigned us, and God expects us that whatever he's assigned us to do, we are to do with all of our heart, soul, and mind. So why in the world are you the leader of the military that we find that you are greatly afraid and dismayed?
Yeah.
Most of us sometimes when we hear the words of the enemy, it can kind of take us back. And that's why I say to you that we have to have thick skin, because people are going to talk about us till Jesus comes.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop, but we have to understand that when we have chosen to live a godly life, the Bible says we're going to suffer persecution.
Yeah.
And so it said that when Saul and all of Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. Verse 17a says, and Jesse said unto his son David, take now.
Yeah.
God was setting the scene right now.
Right.
Now, we remember David. He was the one that wasn't even thought about when they had the lineup of his brothers to be the next king. But Jesse told his son David, go see about your brothers.
Yeah.
They're in war, and take something to them. Take some food to them. But this is the moment when God begins to do three things.
Yeah.
He's setting the scene.
All right.
This is going to be the time when David gets launched into his ministry, into showing the reason why he was anointed to be the next king.
All right.
God is setting the scene. He's also sending the solution.
All right.
How many of you know that whatever problem we're facing, that God always has a solution?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I don't care what we're dealing with. If our backs are against the wall, whatever problem we're dealing with, whatever obstacle, the word has the answer.
Yes, Lord.
So God sent a solution, and that solution was in David. And God was about to shift the atmosphere. Six things we're going to talk about how God is going to allow us to arise, women of God, to be courageous and to get the victory, because the victory was already won.
Yeah.
God just expects us to walk in that victory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Christ did it over 2,000 years ago when he was slain for not doing anything, but came because he so loved us. Verse 32 is where you'll find me now. It says here, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. The first thing you have to do, if we're going to arise out of our situation, and these six things all begin with the letter C. First thing, you have to confront your giant. You have to call that giant out, whatever it is. If it's the giant of procrastination, the giant of oppression, the giant of depression, the giant of lack, we have to learn to confront our giant.
Okay.
I've been here too long. How many of you have been down too long? And we got to get ready. We got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and being down and out. But God said to confront your giant. David said it here. He said, Saul, thy servant will go and fight.
Yes, sir.
We said, for Christ I live and for Christ I die.
Yeah.
But what happens when God sets the scene and when God calls us to walk out? Are we going to step back?
Right.
Are we going to draw back? Or are we going to say, God, thy servant that you have anointed will go and fight?
Yeah.
Number one, confront your giant. Verse 33 says, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to to go against this Philistine. How many of you have been told what you can't do? You can't do this. You can't do that. You don't have enough money. You don't have the degree. You don't have enough people in your corner. You've come from the wrong side of the tracks. It says, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against them. Now, what I have a problem with, see, Saul is a leader. And see, I thought that we're supposed to expect our leaders to encourage us, to push us, not to tell us what I can't do. But the Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You may not know what God has prepared me to do, but I can do all things. And he said that Saul, thy servant, will go and fight. Confront your giant. But Saul said, David, you're not able to do this. I think Saul didn't know what David was doing in the backside of the desert. Sometimes we have to learn not to despise small beginnings. Start where you are and build upon that. Because God said, if you're faithful over a few, I will make you ruler over many. Saul said, the one that he trusted, the one he looked up to, said that you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight, for you are but a youth. The second thing we have to deal with is character assassinations. They gonna come. If you still living, don't be so surprised when folk talk about you. See, you gotta learn to say that I'm in good company. They talked about Jesus. And he did nothing wrong. So when folk talk about me, I learn to say, okay, it's all right. Because God will show you better than he can tell you. We got to learn that character assassinations will come. I'm tired of people saying that what you can't do, what we can't have, where we can't go. But Saul, in position of leadership, that had the opportunity to encourage David. But I love it because David knew who he was. That even though Saul said, you can't do this, he said, I know who I am. Well, I know what I was doing on the backside of the desert. Well, God was training me and preparing me. So David wasn't just tending his sheep. All right. I believe that he was worshiping. All right. That he was praising God. Oh, yeah. He wasn't just tending the sheep. But you have to know who you are and deal with character assassinations. Yeah. Verse 34, it says this, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. See, David, what I love, and we can put our name in place of David, he didn't even address the fact that he said, you can't do this. We have to learn that when folks say something and you know who you are, you're just like, okay, you just keep walking. You just keep stepping because you know what God has called you to do. He didn't even dress and he didn't even spend and waste time and say, but Saul, I can do this. But what he did is what I love what he did next. And we have to learn to do this. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. It says in verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he have defied the armies of the living God. The third thing we're going to have to do, women of God, if we're going to arise, if we have to give the enemy the confession of our curriculum vitae. In other words, just run down your resume. You know when you go for a job interview, you don't have to say really much, though, but you just put the resume in front of the person interviewing. This is what I've done. This is my value that I will add to the company. I will be an asset. So this is what David did. He just ran down his resume. See, when you thought I was just tending sheep and I was just dirty and muddy, God was preparing me for such a time as this. See, I was praising. I was worshiping God. I always stayed in a posture of praise and worship. And even when the enemy came up against me, it said that I slew him and I smote him.
See, when the enemy comes up against your assignment, you have to learn to say, oh no, not today. You're coming against the wrong system. God has entrusted me with these sheep, and you will not take even one of them. And that's how Jesus is. He said he'll leave the 99 to go and see about one. And so David said, you coming up in here? You must don't know who you're messing with. See, a lot of times we got to get bold and confident and stand firm on the word of God and who he says I am. You say this, but the word of God said that I am the head and I'm not the tail. I am above only and I'm not beneath him. I am the lender and will not be the borrower. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed when I go out. So I ask you again, you sure you want to come up in here? You sure you want to mess with me? See, you got to give him a warning. Are you sure? The fourth thing that David in these scriptures, it shows me that he was committed to his assignment, to his purpose, and his destiny. We have to be committed to what God has called us to do. Not looking at Sister Coconut and Brother Pineapple, but what has God assigned you to do? Because that's where your anointing will come. That's where you will get results. I can't be concerned about what you're doing, but I'm encouraging you. And I'm praying for you. But David was committed to his assignment, but he had to let Saul know, look, I may not be out here in the military, but see, I've been having some military-style training in the backside of the desert. I've been tending my sheep. So he gave him his resume. And God said that I want you to be committed to your assignment. And it says here, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me. Can I park right there just for a moment? He didn't say my mother who delivered me, my pastor who delivered me, my doctor who delivered me, but the word says the Lord that delivered me. We have to learn to give honor and glory to God. If we're going to arise out of our situation, God said it was me. It was by my grace and mercy that you were consumed. God said it was me. And David, I love, he knew how to give glory and honor back to God. He said, the Lord that delivered me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it's the Lord that's going to deliver you out of them all. People will pray for you and God will use people, but it's the Lord that will deliver you out. So David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will.
Yes, he will.
Somebody said he will.
He will.
You have to have confidence in God. And that's the fifth thing, that David had confidence in God. Not confidence in man, because man will fail you. I've learned that people mean well. How many mean well? When everyone needs you, you find yourself always there. Whether they need a couple of dollars, whether they need a ride somewhere. But what happens when you need something? People's phones don't vibrate. They blocked you. They didn't change their number. What happens when you've been there for everybody? And then when I need something, you're not there. I believe God is saying that you want to arise out of your situation, stop depending on man. But you better put your confidence in me. So David knew, he knew this very well. He said it was the Lord that delivered me. He had confidence in God, not man. Because he knew everything that he had been through, that it was the Lord, our God, who delivered him. He said he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul, the leader, finally said, David, go. See, because you can't hold back fire. On this Pentecost Sunday, you can't hold back. When the servant says to you, thy servant will go and fight. See, you can't hold back someone that knows who they are. When you know, all you got to say, you know what, just go ahead on, sis. Go ahead and do your thing. I got your back. I am encouraging you. And that's what Saul had to finally do, and your enemy will do. They will finally say, go. The Lord be with you. And what I love that when David said, the Lord will deliver. The sixth thing, he caught a vision. We have to learn how to catch a vision of our victory. He didn't say that when your servant goes and fight, that maybe God will deliver me. Maybe he'll do this thing. But David said, no, the Lord, the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. See, David caught a vision of his victory over the giant. He said, oh, no, you don't know what I've been fighting. Some people don't know the tears that you shed. Some people don't know the sleepless nights. Some people don't know that you've laid prostrate before the Lord and see that you caught a vision even in the midst of your tears. That weeping may endure for a night. But joy is going to come in the morning, my sisters. You will arise out of your situation. You will come up out of this thing. We've been down long enough. And God said it's time to arise. God said, catch a vision. See yourself at the finish line. See yourself walking in your victory. Jesus said, there before the joy that was set before him. Jesus had a moment when he said, God, is it any way? Is there any other way that this can be done? But what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, Jesus caught a vision. He said that I'm going to be with my Father. And see, I don't see what I'm going through right now. But Jesus said, I see myself sitting on the right hand of my Father. Be a reunited him. And he said, I'll do this. If you call me to do this, God, I'll go and I'll fight. Because I already have the victory. I know who I am. You've anointed me for such a time as this. David caught a vision. And women of God, I say to you, catch a vision of where you are, where you want to be. We've been to vision parties, right? Vision board parties. Huh? And you have the big poster board and you plaster your pictures of what you want and what you aspire to. And they always say, every now and then, when you're getting a little bit discouraged, you go back. Okay, I can do this. Oh, okay, I'm on target. I am going to enroll back in school. When everyone that said no, somebody will say yes. We got to catch a vision and see ourselves as God sees us. People don't know what you've been doing. And that's why I said despise not small beginnings. That's all I'm saying. Be encouraged, women of God. And know that God has not forgotten you. When you continue to be faithful over those small things, those things that people consider insignificant and unimportant, God said, that's where I'm training you. When you roll up your sleeves and learn how to be faithful over what I've given you now. God said, then I'll open up the doors and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. But God said, roll up your sleeves. Stay down in the trenches. It doesn't matter. We know how to get dirty. We know how to get down in the trenches. And we also know when to beautify ourselves. God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
He's faithful.
Yes, he is.
If we're going to learn to arise and deal with some things, God said we're going to have to confront your giant. What is your giant that you're facing today? Is it a giant of rejection? The giant of low self-esteem? Of not being good enough, of depression. Yes, you can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and still deal with depression. Is it the giant of fear?
But I tell you that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So whenever we're fearful, just know it's not from God. God has not given that to us. The spirit, it's a spirit. It is a spirit. And we have to learn to confront those giants. The second thing, character assassinations. They gonna come. People talk about you when you don't do anything. And people talk about you when you're doing something. So why not be successful in God? If you won't talk about me anyway, I might as well be talked about when I'm doing the will of the Father that sent me. Character assassinations. We don't have to answer to character assassinations. All we have to do is just walk in that victory. The confession of our curriculum vitae. Did I say that right for all the English professors? Because I was saying it wrong for a while. It's your resume. Just run it down. Fourth thing, be committed to your assignment. Be committed. It is the enemy's job to distract us, to take us off focus. Life happens to all of us. We are not exempt. Life is going to happen.
That's right.
But be committed. Fifth thing, have confidence in God. Know it is the Lord your God that would deliver you out of everything.
Yes.
If he did it before, he can do it again. Come on, same God right now. Same God back then. He don't change. He don't change like people change. People will change in a hot minute. They will praise you one day and crucify you the next. See, we have to learn that we're no greater than our master.
That's right.
They say, oh, praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And the next moment, what were they doing? Crucify him. Know you're in good company. And just be welcoming. All right. It's all right. I'm in good company. They're going to praise me one day and put me down another. That's why we have to learn to have confidence in God. And finally, women of faith, catch a vision. See yourself where you want to be. Because we're not going to be where we are all the time. It's not going to be like this always. This is but for a moment. But where God is taking us is going to have more glory than we can ever imagine.
That's right.
We just have to learn to see ourselves in a better place. God has great things in store for us. Greater things. Greater things. Greater things. Greater things. Do you believe that? Great things in store. And so I encourage you on today to meditate on these six things. And tell yourself, self, you ain't gonna be here always. You have to encourage yourself. We coming up out of this. We gonna go and fight because we know God is going before us. And he won't let us down. He'll make every crooked way straight. Every rough spot smooth. It is the Lord our God. Be blessed, women of God. Be encouraged. Be prayerful. Be courageous. And you are victorious. God bless you. Hallelujah. If I have your permission, if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord for themselves, the altar is open. I extend the invitation to salvation. That is the first step. That is the first and the most important step you'll make. The best decision you'll ever make.
Blessed Savior.
I invite you to the altar.
He's worthy
to accept him. He loves you.
He
did it all just for you.
Praise him.
Yes, he died just for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, are you a whosoever today?
Jesus, blessed Savior.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I take it we have a saved household today.